keep trying to imagine myself in that crowd. I see the disciples following along with Jesus as he's riding that donkey into Jerusalem. And I see on their faces kind of a combination of, and this is the producers and their interpretation of it, which I think is probably a good interpretation. They are, these disciples seem both joyful, and they also seem a little bit probably concerned. Where is this going? What in the world is going to happen in the next few days? And we know what was happening in those next few days. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to be reading. We're working our way through these verses as Jesus tells his disciples they are to abide in him, the one who is the true vine. And he calls them the branches. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, I believe it's page 1068. Page 1068. I'm going to read this initially from the New International Version. John 15, verses 1 through 6 in the New International Version. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Again, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a branch remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. Father, we pray you'd help us understand, and we pray that you'd help us not only to understand, but to apply your word, even as we study it together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I invite you, please, to take your notes out. Hopefully, you all got the notes. Always pick them up on your way in. And I'd like you to turn into the inside of those notes. You'll see this text that has been printed in the New American Standard Version. This is verses 4 through 5. Would you stand with me, please? Let's read this together. We'll read these verses at the top of the inside page together. Abide, remain, in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now listen from the New American Standard, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You may be seated. Let me give just a few initial comments from this text, beginning at verse 4. Jesus said, "Abide in me." I said this last week, you've got a little bit of room for notes. The word, the Greek word for abide, is a very, very common word that is used repeatedly throughout the Gospel of John and throughout his little letter, John's little letter. John was very close to Jesus. He was humble enough to say that he was the one who was loved by Jesus. He didn't say, "I, John." He just says, "the one who was loved by Jesus." It's a humble statement, not a bragging statement. It's humble. And John captures this word. The word, the Greek word is from the root meno, which means it's a verb, abide. It means remain. It means continue. The way he uses it in the past tense, it's a technically a past tense, but it's got a continuing effect. It's continuing and continuing. Continue to abide. Continue to continue with me. Continue to remain. On and on and on. Don't ride on what you were yesterday. Had a great day yesterday. I was abiding yesterday, but oops, I kind of slipped. Maybe I was abiding real well 15 minutes ago, but oops, now there I am, struggling on my own, all on my own. Jesus said, abide, or make your abode, or I hope this doesn't sound too rough, but he's basically saying, continue to hang out with me. Seriously, continue to be with me and be with me and be with me. Don't lose the focus. Abide in me. He's talking about a relationship, and a relationship is always two ways, isn't it? If it's a relationship, I have no relationship with the IRS. Not a wonderful, cozy, cuddly relationship. As long as they don't get back to me, our relationship, I'm happy to have basically just one way. I'm really happy to be one way until it comes back to me in the form of my Social Security. Last week, I mentioned this. I tried to use this kind of an example from a coaching perspective. Watching infield practice with my grandsons, the coach would hit the ball to the infield, and the kids were lined up, and when it was their turn, he'd hit the ball to them, and he'd say, "Go to the ball! Go to the ball! Go to the ball! Don't wait for the ball to come to you." Yesterday, at one of our grandson's games, I saw a kid out in right field, okay? He's out in right field, and the ball was hit, and it was breaking out. It was breaking out, and he didn't go to the ball. And the kid who was going to make it to first anyway made it to second and to third. Because he didn't, what? Go to the ball. And it's the same way in our relationship with Jesus. He says, remain in me. Keep going to me. Oh, I know. Maybe this day you don't feel like it. You're just kind of bummed out because, everybody else has it better than you do. And you're just kind of upset that you're just kind of always left behind. I don't feel like it. I'm not feeling it today, Pastor. I'm not feeling it today, Jesus. And Jesus said, now listen, remain in me and I'll remain in you. You keep coming to me. Come to me when you have a random thought of feeling sorry for yourself. Come to me. Come to me and move toward me by saying, Lord, I wasn't paying attention. I forgot who I am. I forgot how loved I am by you. I just forgot. I just was thinking about what everybody else had, and I forgot. There's a psalm. It's an amazing psalm, Psalm 73. It's the song of Asaph. And Asaph begins to come to God, even though it just sounds like he's a whiner, and he is. He's a whiner. And he says, I look around and I see all sorts of prosperous people who are evil. They are evil people. And I know, Lord, I'm not making this up. They're evil. Why does it seem like they prosper and I get kind of stuck in the mud here? I'm not prospering like evil people. How is that moving to the ball? How is that moving toward him? Because Asaph's putting it right out there and saying, I'm feeling sorry for myself today, God. And it seems like you're not just. But as he's being honest with God and feeling sorry for himself, he begins to remember who God is and how God is a just God. And at the end, you know, God doesn't always settle the score on Friday. God will follow through with you, Asaph. He will follow through with me, and he will follow through with you. But own your feelings. That's moving toward him. And begin to rehearse what you know to be true about him. That's moving toward the ball. Well, I want you to focus on verse 4 this morning. I'm going to be, the words that you will see in your bulletin are, these are the words that are taken out of the New American Standard. So they might seem just a little bit different than that Bible in the rack in front of you. But the next point, we pick this up today. We pick it up at the, as you look at your notes, right after it says, abide in me, and then I in you, the very next point, the branch cannot bear fruit itself. It cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. So the word to fill into that little blank, the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. Does this sound very obvious? Fruit just doesn't come out of nowhere. So the branch is not going to bear fruit, and the branch is not going to have nice, juicy clusters of grapes coming, just hanging from it, unless it abides in the vine. And you know, here's the deal. The vine dresser, who is the vine dresser in this whole picture? It's the Father, right? It's God the Father. Jesus said in verse 1, my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser, and just understand this, the vine dresser is all about getting fruit. He's all about getting fruit from you, the branch, and you, the branch, if you are a branch. He's all about getting fruit. Now, the branch is in the vine. But he says, you need to be actively. This is your part. This is your part. Remain in me. Stay connected to me. Stay connected on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis to the one who is your life. The only one from whom you and I can get continued life. See, God is, he is not about religion. He's all about a relationship with you and me. And he keeps saying, come to me. draw your life from me. You know, I found myself saying to myself and saying to others this week, repeatedly, you know, we can actually hold two thoughts at the same time. Can't we? At least two. Even though I'm a man, you know, and I know there's some things about this between men and women. You know, I may have a hard time listening when I'm watching something on television. I can't do too well there. But I can, and you can, hold two thoughts at one time. A thought like this. I'm in pain. I'm in physical pain. I'm in, you know, I've got to do something about the pain. I'm in pain. I've got to do something about the pain. That's like two thoughts at one time. I'm in pain. I've got to get some Tylenol. That's getting pretty sophisticated. I'm in pain. And God is here. I'm in pain and God loves me. Could be emotional pain, spiritual pain, the pain of the soul. I'm in pain right now. I've got to do something about this. I've got to turn toward God and get help for my soul so I can move forward. And when I turn to him, and I get help from my soul, and I do something strange, like say, well, it might seem strange in that moment. Oh, thank you, Lord. I have somebody to turn from, to turn to. I've got you to turn to. I remember when I first came here 29 years ago, and I was in a lot of pain. I didn't know pain like this. I discovered one week after it was a hot, hot weekend, and I put up 5 ceiling fans in my house, and I discovered I had a herniated disc. And, you know, I was in burning pain down my arm, and I began to say to God, jokingly, even though it wasn't a joke to me, God, were there not enough graves back in Minnesota, where I came from, that you could have just left me there to die? You had to bring me out here to be in all of this pain? And I'm kind of thinking that as a joke, but I'm thinking. And I didn't, the two thoughts that I had was, I'm in a lot of pain. I think God can help me, but I couldn't pray for myself. So the two thoughts I had side by side, as I moved toward God, now listen, as I moved toward God, I said to the people in this congregation, please pray for me. I can't pray for myself. I don't know how to pray for myself in this kind of pain. I am so distracted by it. The only thing I had was to cry out to God and to his people. And I'm still here, in spite of your prayers. No. Anyway, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, the last part of the verse, so neither can you bear fruit that really matters, unless you abide in me. Neither can you unless you abide or make your home in me and draw your life from me. We're the branches. Just remember this. We don't bear the fruit. We don't push the fruit out. We don't, it's like, I gotta go home and create some fruit. You know, that just happens in my garden as the branches stay connected. But let's press on. We will not produce hope. We will not produce thankfulness. We will not produce strength. We will not produce encouragement. We won't produce any of those good things that mark a righteous life, the righteous life of somebody who is drawing his or her life from the vine. Are we clear on this? It may seem so terribly obvious, but it's just not. I've got to do better. I heard some commercials today, and these commercials were so man-centric that they were all about, you can do it. You can do it. It's the power of imagination, and you've got that imagination in yourself, don't you? Well, I know we all can imagine some stuff, but not the kind of stuff that Jesus is talking about here. I'm the vine, and I am totally invested in a relationship with you that will matter. I am totally invested. See the cross back here? That's his investment in you and in me. The fruit comes as we, it's as easy as this. I remember when Danny Rodriguez, by the way, do you know who the newest person to be engaged in our congregation is? Applaud for Joanna. Would you two guys stand up? That's exciting. You know, I remember when Danny stood up here and preached a number of weeks ago, and he talked about it's all grace, it's all grace, it's all grace. It's God's investment in us. And we just need to hang out. We need to hang out with him and let him produce the stuff that he wants to produce in us. I don't have to strain to produce thankfulness. If I'm hanging out with him, I'm going to be thankful. There's not going to be any gap in there. If I'm hanging out with him, I'm going to have peace. If I'm hanging out with him, now this is scary, okay? If I'm hanging out with him, I'm going to practice self-control. Not because I decided to pull myself up by my bootstraps. If I'm hanging out with him, the fruit of that relationship will be self-control. It will not be somebody. I'll give up my spontaneous response, just my knee-jerk response to get even, to get clever. It's not about me. It's about him and the relationship. Jesus said in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Do you know how to personalize this text? I want you to do this right now. Do you know? This is what happens, folks. This is what happens when we personalize God's word. The questions that are on the back are all about personalizing it. But I want you to personalize verse 5. Tell me how you personalize it. Somebody say, personalize verse 5. It's really easy. You just change the pronoun. I am the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. And got it. And I am one of the branches. Personalize it. But let's personalize it as a church. Jesus said, I am the vine. And we are the branches. We. So we got a bundle of branches right here. That's good. It's a sharp group, okay? But again, it may sound so simple, but you know, we go through these times in our lives when it's almost as if we forget who he is and who we are. I am not the vine. I'm not the vine. But he does command me to remain in him. He does exhort me to remain in him. He encourages me to remain in him. And then he says this, and this is where this begins to take a twist that is probably very difficult. The last part of verse 5, he says, for apart from me, you can't do much. Is that what your translation says? No, okay. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Boy, is he exaggerating, isn't he? Has he seen some of the stuff I've done? That's the trouble. He can see the stuff, a lot of the stuff that I've done. But what does he mean by we can do nothing? Well, let's start back where with that statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to take exception to this. I can do a lot, Jesus. I've prepared a lot of sermons. I have preached a lot of sermons. I've given people a lot of sermons, lectures, like my kids, that they didn't want to hear. Yeah, okay. Well, haven't I done a lot? And he says, listen, if you're doing anything, and it's really not out of a present tense relationship with me, where you're getting your life from me, not straining to get your life from me, you're just living with me. And it is that back and forth relationship. He said, understand, apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's back up to what Dennis talked about a few weeks ago. He started by using the Romans road. So you can just write down a few of these notes. Like, what does he mean by nothing? Well, let's start with Romans 3, verses 10 through 23. Verses 10 through 23. I'm not going to read the whole text. You don't have to look at it. Just write the text down. Romans 3, 10 through 23. And there he says, there's no one who's righteous. Not even one. So he just says basically, on your own, you can't do anything righteous. Are we clear? Yeah, that's right. It's really true. How about Romans 5:8? God demonstrates his love toward us in that, what? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so God's got my number and he's got yours. I can't do anything. When I'm doing it on my own, it's nothing but pure. It's I'm on my own. I'm on my own. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can't do anything. I can't make myself clean. I can't make myself pure. Maybe you've been like me from time to time when you made a vow. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more disciplined. I'm going to do it. And God says, oh, so you're going to do this, right? Okay. Have at it. No, it only happens, and it happens so naturally as we abide in the vine, the one who is totally invested in us having a meaningful and rich life. Galatians 5, write this down, verses 22 through 23. Again, this is I can't do this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the stuff that comes out of a simple, listen, you don't have to strain on this. It comes out of a simple walk with God. Now, I want you just to reference one other text. It's Galatians 5:16. I'm going to read this to you in the New International, the New American Standard version. But Galatians 5:16. This is the text that is. It just precedes the words about the fruit of the Spirit. But it is for years. This has been one of these texts that just kind of leaps out to me. But I say, walk by the Spirit. I want to know you're still with me. Please, walk by the Spirit and what? And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, please, the reason why I come back to this and pause here, and I hope you'll take note of this, Galatians 5:16, and in your notes, you can just say, Satan loves to convince us by being a counterfeit with that verse. This is how he's a counterfeit with that verse. He says, just turn the words around a little bit. Don't fulfill the desires of the flesh, and you'll be walking in the Spirit. Just push down those desires, fight those desires, destroy those, rebuke those desires, then all of a sudden you'll be filled with the Spirit. Is that what it says? Do you understand the difference? You decide, if I decide to just rebuke the flesh, just rebuke it. And I know there's lots of ministries that may talk about just rebuke the devil and rebuke the flesh. And you're gonna be in the right camp. Now, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, this happens when we walk with the Spirit, and then we won't be fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Listen to this. While we can do many things, only what's done for Christ or with Him will last. Continued production depends on constant union with the source of fruitfulness. Continued production depends on constant union with the source of fruitfulness. Branches that are severed, now this doesn't, branches that are severed from the vine or from the parent stock may produce leaves temporarily, but inevitably they will wither because there's no source of life. What do? To remain in the vine, we listen to Him. We listen to His word. What do? To abide in the vine, we ask Him, Lord, help me understand. I sat down with a couple of my grandchildren last week and I said, do you know what it means for us to go to the ball? I mean, do you understand how we do that with Jesus? How do we go to the ball? How do we remain in the vine? And one of them said, we ask for help. Bingo. We ask for help. I said we met with the finance committee yesterday. You know, we started out with asking God for help. And if we're going to be okay and not eat each other up in the process and make mistakes, we have to just continue to remain in the vine and not take things back. One pastor said, we had this elders meeting, and we had all these men of God from our church, and we had a great time of devotion, and we read God's word, and we were immersed in what God's word had to say, and what we were reading was, God is all-powerful, God is a loving God, God really cares for us, He has our best interest in mind, He's going to be glorified, and they said amen, and the first words out of the chairman's mouth were, guys, we are in trouble. Yes. Well, we may be in trouble, but we just said, God's in charge. And so, you know, this doesn't mean we can pull the wool over our own eyes. No, but come on. If we're going to listen to Him, we have to lean on Him. We have to say what He says in His own words. We have to think what He says. I was just reading this morning in 1 Samuel, just as this annual read through God's word. A few times I've gotten to the point where I was reading, you know, pages and pages of nothing but names. But I was in this section where God says, He says to Saul, King Saul, the relatively new king who took matters into his own hands, and he didn't do what God told the people to do when they took this town, this city, and they were to destroy every living thing in that city. Don't hold back any of it for yourself. And Samuel the prophet said to him, "You've been rejected by God. You kept all those animals. You kept all of those goods, and you didn't kill that king like you were supposed to kill him." And he said, "Well, I saved all of that." Saul said, "Can you imagine this? I saved all of that to make as an offering. All those animals as an offering for God." And the words of Samuel in, I believe it's chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, he said, "God's not interested in sacrifice. He's interested in obedience." And it's like those words were for Saul, and they were for me too. He's not interested in your words, John. He's interested in your obedience, day in and day out. And that obedience comes from, just try this out as a thought. Is God present everywhere? Do you really believe it? If you believed that all the time, would you say the things you say and do the things you do? Would you think the things that you think sometimes? Come on, seriously. Remember when my mom was a wonderful woman of God. I called her a practical atheist once. She didn't disown me. But the point was, we don't always believe that God's present, or we wouldn't say or think or do the things that we do. We just wouldn't. And so God says, "I'm not interested in your offerings, John." That's part of obedience. That's part of obedience. Daily, weekly, just constantly listen to him. Now, verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned." How do you like them apples? I go from being somebody that Christ died for. I go from somebody that Christ loves and has a present tense relationship with me. He said, you and me and I in you. And he says that I'm in the vine. Now, I'm going to share with you what I've understood from this for years. Look at those words again. "If anyone does not abide or remain in me, he is thrown away as a branch." And he dries up. That's what's going to happen to these branches that are thrown away. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. I don't believe that Jesus is saying, if you don't abide in me, remember the salvation you thought you had? It's gone. Don't bother working constantly because it's gone. You didn't abide in me. And you didn't abide in me for a pretty long stretch. Or you kept on not abiding in me. He's talking about something that is happening in the garden. And if branches or a portion of a branch is not functioning, this goes back to the beginning of this, and it's not functioning like it was intended to function, that branch, the dead part, is cut off. And what do they do with the dead part that's cut off? They throw them in a pile of branches. The dead parts are thrown in a pile with other branches that are dead. And then those parts that are bearing only a little bit of fruit, they're bearing little fruit. And he prunes those and throws those into a pile, and eventually they wither, and eventually someone gathers up these branches and they're thrown on a fire and they're burned. His point is, It's not that you're lost forever. It's, I'm all about bearing fruit, and you're not bearing fruit. And when you're not bearing fruit, when you're not hanging out with me, when you're not getting your life from me, do you know how valuable you are to me? You're about as valuable to me and my glory as those withered branches. You know, in essence, your life is just fruitless and worthless. It's going nowhere. Why? Because you are not present tense abiding in me. Now, where would I back that up? Would you turn with me in your Bibles? I don't have a page number for this. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is talking to a very carnal, a very fleshly operating church. They've got all sorts of they've got their favorite teachers, they've got their favorite preachers, they've got their favorite apostles, and they're being pretty stinking carnal. Flesh, they're operating in the flesh. They're operating in their own power. Now I'm actually going to read from the are you in the New International Version? I'll turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. And write this text down, please. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 13. By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation in your lives. I presented Christ to you, and I laid a foundation in your life as an expert builder. And someone else is building, one of those other teachers. Apollos is doing that, or Peter, or some other teacher is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, how he's living his life. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already been laid. What's the foundation? It's Jesus Christ, it says there, right there in that verse. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, building on that building, what kind of building materials should they be using? The ones that last, right? Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to life. This is the final judgment day, will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. The fire will test the quality of what's left in the life of someone who was abiding in Christ or not. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. He'll be saved, but there's a lot that's going to be burned up. All those branches piled up, representing a life that was not walked, not the person was not walking in the Spirit. Listen, folks, you and I have to apply this to our own life, to our family life, to our relationships, to people away from here. We have to apply this to our the work that we do for the Lord. This will be applied for every single message I've ever preached. I've got file cabinets full of my messages, which I never go back to. Sometimes it can be real embarrassing to go back to them and think, oh boy, who would listen to this stuff? But here's the deal. If I was preaching out of a relationship with God, then those elements of that message there'll be some fruit there in the lives of the people to whom I speak and in my life. But if I'm just kind of doing it in my own strength, doing it in my own strength in my prayer life, doing it in my own strength in my worry, doing my own in my own strength in my pride, then those elements are going to be burned up. And what will I say? What will I feel? What will I feel when I stand before the Lord? I'll go, ugh, I thought, but I worked so hard on that. Yeah, you did. Some of you have heard me tell the story of the one class I failed in college. It was a history class. I did all the work. I just got some really bad information before the final test. I did. I got bad information. You can blame that guy. I do. That gave me the bad information. But here's the deal. I suffered loss. I worked. That professor said to me afterwards, I know you did all the work, but you're just kind of a victim of circumstances. And sadly, in my relationship with God, I guess I can't blame it on my circumstances. Go for the ball. Go for the ball. Go for that intimacy that he wants you to have. Lean on him. Tell him what's happening. He already knows. Confess what's out of place. Give thanks. And may he continue to produce amazing fruit in our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thanks for our fellowship. Lord, you are the vine, and we are the branches. You are the vine, and I'm one of the branches. Father, I pray that you'd find me going to you, moving toward you, finding my residence in you, just soaking up the life that you have for me. And I pray that for all of us, Lord. Thanks again, Lord, for your word. We need it all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.